Hi everyone. Thanks for this episode of Nick Egan Times. On this episode, we have a fantastic guest. We have the legendary John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting. John of Five for Fighting is an incredibly talented US pianist, singer, songwriter, producer, and speaker. John of Five for Fighting has had multiple massive worldwide smash hits, including Superman, 100 Years, and The Riddle. John of Five for Fighting is music, sorry, is in over 300 movies, television shows, and commercial. Five for Fighting is about to kick off a national US spring tour starting on March the 26th. Welcome, John. Thanks for coming on the podcast, and I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Nick. Nice to be with you.
Welcome. All right, let's jump straight into it. Tell me about, firstly, the Music Matters Challenge. That's incredible. I was reading up on it, and it's a really fantastic initiative that you're doing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you talking about that. We actually just launched the video today. When I was in elementary school in Los Angeles, music funding was cut to the elementary schools, and we lost our music teacher. And my mom, who was a piano teacher, volunteered and started putting on full musicals at our elementary school. I was actually Tony in West Side Story, probably because my mom was producing it. But and 50 years later, those kids still talk to my mom, and it changed lives. And having music in schools is so critical on so many levels. You can do the research, but mental wellness, graduation rates, grades, and so. I partnered with an amazing Chicago foundation, the Tolman Foundation, and we're launching basically a national competition, something kind of like the Ice Bucket Challenge, where everybody can put up a video, talk about a music teacher that mattered to them, sing the song Let Music Fill My World that I wrote with some Chicago inner city kids that lost their music teacher. For that school, we actually provided a music teacher for them for 3 years. And this contest will run, through Music in the Schools month and through April. And the winners will help us put another full-time music teacher in a school of need, win some money. There'll be a school prize. But really what we're doing is we're raising awareness how critical music is for every kid. 4 million kids in America don't have music in their schools. And it should be a lot of fun, a lot of singing, a lot of joy. And I can't wait for it to get going.
That's sensational. It's a great opportunity too for disadvantaged kids or any type of kid for that matter, obviously, to have a chance. And yeah, music's obviously such a big part of life. It's really resonates with everyone and makes everyone happy. So
No, you're right. It's the thing that brings us together. It's an escape. It's a way to share your voice. I mean, maybe you're not very good at, maybe you're a little shy, you're not very good at talking, but you sing or you paint or you dance, and all the info's at letmusicfillmyworld.com. And I look forward to your entry, Nick. Come on, buddy. I know your story. Everybody has a story.
I got plenty of stories, but nothing like yours, mate. You'll make me look bad if we did that. All right. Let's go into you created a new single. I was actually looking at it yesterday. Okay. It's amazing. It's really obviously a deep and confronting as well, especially the video. Talk to me about that and yeah, I guess the background of what drew you to do it and just yeah, everything relating to it.
I think we were all horrified by the images of October 7th. I mean, it reminded us of 9/11. Frankly, it reminded us of the Afghan withdrawal. Just, images you could never, imagine seeing. But I think what was maybe shocking to so many of us was the aftermath. Within 24 hours, you had thousands of people celebrating in Times Square, and you quickly saw our colleges becoming these rampant anti-Semitic, hell holes, and people ripping down posters of hostages, and people, Rashida Tlaib, basically being a Hamas kind of propagandist. And that really scared me and depressed me. And so the video really talked about kind of the collapse of the media, our academia, our politics, and how that's really a global phenomenon. It's not just Israel and Hamas. And the fact that so many of our kids have kind of been indoctrinated into this mindset where majority of our kids in many polls support Hamas over Israel. They call them occupiers. They don't believe the Holocaust happened. So we're really fighting for the generation, the soul of our kids. And so that's really, to me, what the video is about, is pointing out that, hey, look, this is just not Israel Hamas. This is really those fighting for civilization against those want to tear it down. And you know, when Israel shared the video on their social media, you know, the whole thing went to another level. And I'm not a Jewish person, but I feel like I understand how it is to be a Jewish person now, kind of seeing the vitriol that came my way. But it's I think it's important for everyone to stand up. And tragically, Nick, I got to tell you, the music business has been deathly silent, and it's incredibly shameful.
Yeah, it's remarkable how it has been quiet and just everything just transpired since obviously the tragic events happened. Yeah. I think to that song, watching it was very, very well put together, and it's an incredible song, and you know, well done for doing it. It's amazing.
Thank you.
All right. Tell me about your tour that's coming up. It's just kicking off very shortly. Talking about that, that's really exciting.
Yeah, you know, it's the world, you know, seems like a dark place. And whenever I go out and sing with my pals, my musician friends, my soul is lifted, and hopefully the audience too. But yeah, we're heading out next week. I'm actually heading off to New York to do a keynote, and then our tour starts in Fargo, North Dakota, which I've never been to. And I'm going out this round with the string quartet, amazing string quartet. They're all Broadway players. My violin player just won a Tony Award. I just am in awe of them every night. And it gives a different dimension to Superman, 100 Years, Chances. And we can play songs that are not in my rock band set list. And it's a very intimate family show. You know, we recognize our troops. So yeah, we're going out for, you know, for 2 weeks. Then I'm actually going to go to Israel for a week. And then I'm going to come back and finish the tour. So, you know, talk to me in 5 weeks. I probably won't have much of a voice, but I'll have a lot of stories to tell.
Yeah, very, very busy man, my friend. Very, very busy man. All right. Take us back. Initially, growing up, and obviously, I guess, to when you started getting your first big break, I guess, when you got the real traction. What was that like for you growing up, and how was your family?
Yeah, I had a really blessed childhood. You know, my parents are amazing. As mentioned, my mom was a piano teacher. My dad was an astrophysicist, worked at NASA. So I kind of had, you know, the engineer's genes and the musician's genes. And when my grandfather passed away, my dad took over his business, which was a manufacturing business, wire manufacturing. So I started working too as a young, you know, teen, kind of in manufacturing and, you know, sweating on the line and, you know, working 10 hours and learning how to run a business. And so I had a lot of interesting experiences, but I always loved music. I always loved the piano. My mom started me very young. And when I was 13, she was very wise. I wanted to quit and, you know, ride my skateboard and chase girls. And she let me quit. And then I didn't have to practice. So I started writing songs, and I loved writing songs, and I loved the great songwriters, and I loved the great singers, you know, Freddie Mercury, you know, Steve Perry, go down the list. You know, I'm one of those 15-year overnight success stories. I struggled. You know, I had a couple record deals, the record companies closed, but I finally kind of, the stars aligned in it kind of a miraculous way. Superman became popular. And then certainly after 9/11, it took another kind of meaning for the country. And I've been able to kind of do it for 20 years. Certainly I'm not Elton, I'm not Billy, but I'm blessed to have a career where I can kind of write and sing songs and people can sing them back to me.
That's amazing. With Superman, I remember being young at the time, obviously, when 9/11 happened. And I actually remember vividly your song having highlights of 9/11, obviously the terrifying scenes of it. And it was really, really, how do I describe it, confronting. But it was such a accurate song, the lyrics and the way it was done together. It's something that I probably couldn't describe properly in words, but it was really, really ties into that. How did that make you feel with that song, obviously, you know, being a post 9/11 anthem, really?
Yeah, it's surreal. I mean, you know, you never want to have your song, you know, you never want to see something like that happen. And you can never imagine your song being associated with such an evil act. But at the same time, you know, music can provide solace in a unique way. I was actually in London on 9/11, and it took me, you know, 10 days to get back. You know, people, you know, will remember of my age, you know, there were no planes, there was no flights. And I didn't really realize what was happening with Superman till I got back. And then I saw on the news, a lot of stations were doing that, intercutting some of the heroes running into the buildings with Superman, and particularly New York City, Embrace the Song. And so for a kid, or I have to say a young man who just gotten used to hearing his song on the radio, all of a sudden, you're at the concert for New York with all the icons of the world playing that song. Any other day in your life, you'd be like, oh my God, this is like 100 dreams come true. But of course, it wasn't that day. You're talking to the families and you're crying. And so I'm glad the song was there when the country needed it. I saw firsthand how music can, transform people. And it's not about record sales and hits and fame and fortune. And it wasn't my performance, but I remember when The Who came on and, blew the roof off Madison Square Garden playing Bob O'Reilly. You saw 20,000 people who, many of them, been down at ground zero for, from day one, digging through rubble, finding bodies. They were crying, they were singing, they were screaming, they were hugging each other. And I think for the first time, they had a chance to release everything inside them. So that was an education to me. And it kind of led to me doing a lot of work with our troops and Gary Sinise and USO, to kind of let music be a tool of wellness for them. So I think that education kind of formed maybe a lot of my career. But still to this day, 23 years later, it's hard to wrap my head around what Superman became and the performance of Concert for New York. But I'm glad it was there when people needed it.
Yeah, amazing. And it's a timeless hit too. I have those two songs, that and 100 Years. They're my two up there and my favorite songs. So yeah, it's
Oh.
incredible. Actually, briefly, tell me about 100 Years too. What was inspiration behind that song?
Yeah, well, after Superman, it's kind of like, how do you follow that? One hit wonder. And it was really hard. I spent 2 years trying to write a song that could like not be Superman, but be like that guy. And I struggled. It took a long time. And I was sitting, on the couch one day with my two little kids. I had two kids, and at the time they were like 3 and 2. And I'm one of those guys that's always like dwelling on the past or future tripping. And I had this kind of moment of clarity. I'm like, look, man, you're realizing your dream. You actually have a song people know. You have two little kids on your lap. You have a great wife and family. You live in the freest country that's ever existed on this planet. It's like, can you at least recognize that for a minute? And I'm like, well, it's a common thought, but maybe there's a song here. Maybe a wish is never better than this. You got 100 years, and the verses are stages of our lives. And so I kind of sat at the piano and came up with that little piano hook and kind of dug in. Superman came very quickly. It came in like an hour, which was like a gift from God. But 100 years took 2 or 3 months. But again, I love playing 100 years because we're all in there somewhere, right? I was in the second verse when I wrote it. Now I'm in the bridge. Soon I'll be in the vamp, and then I'll have my last note and bye bye. But yeah, it's still a lot of fun to play both those songs.
That's really impressive. All right. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Oh my God. My dad is a very kind of amazing, simple man. He's the smartest man that the best man. He's never had a drink. I've never heard him curse. He's just old school, like, really old school guy. And his philosophy is very simple. It's like, treat people right, own up to it when you make a mistake. And what really matters is your family. We get obsessed with so many things. I can't say I've been as good as I probably should have been about his life lessons. But my dad's been a great role model for me, and just the way he lives his life and what's important to him, and kind of his grace. So I'd have to say that for me, I was very lucky to be born, to not just him, but my mom as well.
Amazing. And what inspires you daily?
I'm sorry?
What inspires you daily?
Huh, what inspires me daily? It comes in the strangest places. I don't know if it's daily, but when I wrote the Afghanistan song, I started working with some of these NGOs evacuating Americans and allies. And I was so kind of disgusted with our government. But then I'm meeting these Green Berets that are going undercover into these war zones, pulling people through sewers at night, getting them on airplanes, sleeping 2 hours a night, losing 40 pounds, and then, doing it again and again. And then they go to Ukraine, and then they're in Israel. And it's like, so through my kind of career, I've met heroes that people will never know their name. So you have people like that. And then just the other night, I spoke to 500 high school and college kids, many of them Jewish, not all of them, but on the front lines fighting this anti-Semitism. They're 16 years old, 17 years old, and they're under this kind of threat and bullies, and to see their fortitude and their clarity and their maturity, that gives me hope and that inspires me. You never know where it's gonna come, but I've met some amazing people, throughout my career. And as I said, many of those folks, you'll never know their name, but that's where I get my inspiration.
Fascinating. What has been out of, I guess, you've had such an illustrious career and obviously you've done so much. What are those specific fondest memories that just come to you when you look back and go, wow, can you share some of those just key memories that just come to you like, wow, that was a pinch me moment?
Man, there's been so many. I mean, certainly playing Madison Square Garden a couple times, not by myself, but with radio shows or the Concert for New York. You play in these iconic venues. You go around the world and you play in different countries. Playing in sports stadiums for me, I'm a huge sports guy. So playing at Dodger Stadium for the outdoor King's Duck hockey game at home plate, where I was going as a 5-year-old to catch foul balls, from Steve Garvey, when I was 7 years old, and the Daytona Hunt 500, and Monday Night Football. Those are always special. And then, going to Ukraine and sitting in a bombed out airport playing with Ukrainians, I'm like, how is this a dream? So I've just, there's been so many things that are just like you pinch yourself and you're like, how is this real? But that's kind of music, right? I mean, music creates miracles, and I've certainly been the benefit of a couple of them.
What is your legacy you would like to leave?
Oh my God. To be the best hockey prognosticator on earth. No. I don't know. Everybody, I hope. I try to be a good dad, a good husband, a good son. And I try to write things that, maybe make people's lives give them, a little better than they might be without them. And lately, maybe I don't look at myself as an activist at all. I kind of disdain that. But maybe, shine the light on some people who really deserve it, and some people who are doing heroic work, and stand up for our values. I mean, it sounds maybe dramatic, but freedom is kind of under attack, and the world's on a tipping point. And a lot of artists, I think, are on the wrong side, and we're losing our kids. So hopefully, some of these projects can, shine the light on some really critical issues. I don't expect everyone to agree with me, but I think songwriters have an obligation to talk about the world around them. And so maybe some of that stuff will, have an effect.
Great answer. What, not obviously getting too political here, but where do you see, generally speaking, the US position going into the future?
It is so, in my mind, chaotic right now. We're so tribal as a nation. We are so locked into our tribes, and the theme of my song is "We're not okay." And I think we're not okay on our politics either. We can't talk to each other. Whereas when I was growing up, people had different opinions, but we usually had the same goals. We just had different methods to get there, and we could shake hands and disagree and still be friends. And that's the great thing about America. I think it's very dangerous time on the global stage. I think Afghanistan was much more severe cost than we thought, not just in, lives and in the Afghan people. I just think the fact that we did that, we abandoned our allies and abandoned our own citizens. gave the evil actors on the world, I think, a thought of, okay, well, if there's a window to go, now's the time. And, would have Putin invaded Ukraine? Maybe. Would have, Hamas attacked Israel? Maybe. But I think our foreign policy has been one of kind of soft, I don't want to say feckless, because I think, we've been better on Ukraine. I could call out the Republicans for Ukraine. So I'm not just picking on the Democrats. So I think it's a dangerous time for the country, that we're not showing strength. And one day we support Israel, the next day we don't. And I think that has a cost, and we're seeing that. So I don't know what's going to happen in this election. I know whatever happens, there's going to be a lot of people very angry and unhappy. And I think all that does is give our enemies more of a sense of aggression. And that's scary to me. So I hope we can tone it down a little bit and realize the big picture, and and understand that, America will survive this election. It's not the last election. Democracy will survive. We don't, let's just like put our adult hats on and get through it. But I gotta tell you, I'm very worried, and that's one reason I'm putting out these songs, because very few artists, have this worldview. So at least I have mine to share.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your insights too. It's really, really, really interesting. I really find that. All
Thank
right.
you.
If you were 18 again and you could change anything, you could go back in time and change anything, what would you change? Or, yeah, could you change?
Well, musically, what I would do is I'd collaborate a lot more. I've kind of been in my own little cave, and in a sense that's worked, but I think I've probably missed some opportunities to collaborate with people more. And also my personal life, I think I've been so kind of focused on my career and music and promotion and doing everything you got to do. I haven't developed as many friends as I think I like. I think it's very important, especially for men, to have friends, and to be able to discuss things and, throw things off each other and hold each other up in times of tough times. I think I would focus on that. The rest of my life has been pretty great. I made an amazing wife and great kids, and still work at the family business, and it kind of keeps me grounded. But I think if those are the two things, I would collaborate more with fellow musicians, and I would develop more friends outside of the business for myself. And but hey, look, I think if we all could go back to 18, we'd probably make a lot of changes.
Very true, very true. John, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I do appreciate it. I've really enjoyed interviewing. I think, it's incredible, obviously, the longevity you've had, and even what you're doing now and going into the future. Sensation.
Well, thank you, Nick. I appreciate it. Look forward to our next chat.
Definitely, mate. Keep in touch.